We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
All right, a Tuesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Corey Anderson, and Shane Summers heading up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. Tons of stuff to get into today. Some college basketball, some NFL, some Major League Baseball. A lot of stuff that we will be discussing, whether that's free agency, franchise tags, a player that might be on the open market that we wonder if the Chiefs will at least maybe kick the tires, light the fires, take a flyer on. How about that? Yeah, didn't plan that at all. We'll get into some of that stuff. Adam Teicher will join us in 11 o'clock hour. For the entire hour, we'll talk with Adam Teicher from ESPN. He's got an interesting piece today at ESPN talking about the pass rush that has a portion of the blame in the Super Bowl loss and where they go from here with Frank Clark and Chris Jones, and then who in this offseason. So we'll talk with Adam Teicher about a ton of different things as it relates to the Chiefs. We'll talk with Brian Bennett today from The Athletic, covers college basketball, bracket watch for The Athletic, does a great job covering mid-majors as well, but the focus on mid-majors, but covers college basketball overall, and main focus being bracket watch and bubble watch and things like that of different teams that certainly, as we're watching, to see range of KU and MU, but also the Big 12, sorry, Shane, and K-State, but
they
also
won.
They did. And also the Big 12, where Oklahoma State won last night. And it looks like there's probably a pretty solid chance, assuming that Oklahoma State's appeal does not come down before the selection committee announces their tournament bracket, and assuming that that appeal then is not denied, that the Big 12 looks like they are pretty firm in getting seven teams into the tournament. So 70% of the league there to make the NCAA tournament.
Texas Tech's in seventh place.
I mean,
a team that's ranked in the top 20. I think they're 14th in the net rankings of all of basketball.
It's crazy.
And they're the seventh place team in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah. They're 14th in the net rankings with how many good wins on their resume?
Not a lot.
Yeah. So
they've played a lot of good teams. They've just lost to them all.
There it is. You know what? You played them. Awesome, man. That's really cool.
Did you hear DeCourcy this morning?
I loved it.
If Kentucky had Texas Tech scheduled, they'd still be ranked.
That's probably true. I loved what was the question to DeCourcy of, what will it take for Texas Tech to not be ranked? And DeCourcy, like, nothing. Nothing. They will be ranked the entire season.
It's in Chris Beard's contract extension.
That's exactly right. Yes. I mean, you talk about the Chris Beard benefit of the doubt. I mean, Texas Tech continues to get that. So we'll talk some college basketball today with Brian Bennett. Todd Lebo will join us in the 1 o'clock hour as we'll also continue talking some college basketball with him, as there's a big tilt tonight between Oklahoma and Kansas State. It's the biggest game on the docket tonight, you would say, right?
Yeah.
Of the local teams, I think nationally and locally as well, the biggest game, Kansas State.
I mean, they've
State
got the most
Oklahoma.
Payback. All three teams lost by more than 20, but K-State lost by 26.
That's a good point,
so
yeah.
So they've got the most payback on their mind against OU.
Yeah, so ranking the games of importance of how big they are, that would be K-State, Oklahoma, then Texas, Kansas.
Because that was a 25-pointer.
That's right. And then Mizzou, Ole Miss.
That was only 21.
Right, yeah. So easily it's K-State, Oklahoma's the big game. So when Todd Lebo comes in, it'll be nothing but breaking down. We'll go position by position, point guard v. point guard. What about the wings? Who's got the advantage inside? What about the advantage on the sideline, the coaches, things like that?
Officials. All the pressure for Lon Kruger
100%,
back in Manhattan.
Man. I mean, are you kidding me? This is his first return to Manhattan,
Not
right?
any of the like other 10 no, times this, he's...
His,
up.
This is his first return. This is his first time back, and the one that really matters. The other ones were just like run-of-the-mill type deals. This is a huge, huge game back in Manhattan. And you know what? The crowd, the fans are going to let him hear about it.
They are.
They will let him know that there are few in attendance. They will definitely let him know. What do you say, Lon? Yeah.
All three of them.
Can actually hear the conversation that's going on in like the fifth row. No, but then she called the other day and it was like, hey, buddy, shut up. All right, we're trying to call a play out right now. Okay, Nigel Peck's got the ball, bud. So we'll talk with Todd Lebo coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll hear from Mike Matheny as well and talk some baseball along the way and some NFL football in general with a couple of big questions going on across the country in franchise tag day. it is the beginning of teams being able to place the franchise tag. And what a difference a year makes. In this time last year, the conversation we were having was Chris Jones. Because before that, it had already been reported that the Chiefs were going to place the franchise tag on him, correct? Or maybe it was after the window opened, then it was a report. Because I remember the report came out before they officially did it.
That they were planning to, yeah. If they couldn't work. Because today's the day they can.
They can start.
No team's going to put a franchise tag on today. Because you want to at least make it look like good faith.
Breaking news, the Bucks have just, I'm just joking.
You know, you want to make it look like you're trying to work out right. Something with them potentially. They have until March 9th. To be able to do mm-hmm. it. So today's just the first day they can.
Yeah.
I doubt you'll see anybody do anything till like next week at the earliest, because you'll say, we're thinking about using this on you. Is there, how close are we?
Right.
Kind of thing. And, you know, like I heard somebody, Jeff Darlington, I think from ESPN saying, Dak Prescott is going to get the franchise tag most likely, but the Cowboys are probably going to wait till right up until the deadline because they want to look like it's good faith efforts to try to get something done between yeah. now and then.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing, but most of the expectations are that Dak will be franchise tagged. And then mm-hmm. there are some decisions to be made by some teams that the Chiefs certainly are looking at as competition, either in the AFC or overall in the NFL. Certainly Tampa Bay, they've got room under the cap. They've got, what, $20-something million under the cap right now for them. But you got Chris Godwin and Shaq Barrett. You bring both those guys back, your cap space is gone. And now you're in the same position the Chiefs are in reworking and restructuring contracts to be able to bring in other guys, to be able to re-sign Antonio Brown if you want to do that. You've got some other free agents with Gronk, and Levante David is a free agent as well. So you've got some big decisions to make. And the question being, is it going to be Shaq Barrett or is it going to be Chris Godwin that's going to get franchised? And can they get both of those players done to massive deals? Whereas a year ago, the Chiefs were able to get Mahomes and Chris Jones done with massive deals, but it was Mahomes as an extension to where you could still sort of slowly integrate that salary cap number. These are $20 million annual average value deals for both Godwin and Shaq Barrett, and we'll see what Levante David's going to be worth on the open market as well. You're only going to be able to franchise one of those guys, and you got three big names that are out there that they got to figure out, and two of them are going to put them at whatever cap space they have will be gone at that point, you would assume, unless they really backload some of those things, which they could. They could certainly sign all three.
I imagine they'll end up all staying.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess that as well.
After what we saw here in Kansas City last yeah. year.
Run it back!
I am never going to say, wait. Oh, this team's not going to be able to get that guy.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out, or we'll see when they actually do. And I think the Chiefs, they've got a really big decision to make over these next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Do you slap the franchise tag on Alex Okafor
right.
or Sammy Watkins? Because whichever one you don't use it on, the other guy walks.
I think there's a decent chance Le'Veon Bell maybe gets the franchise tag.
For like the first 2 seconds of that sentence you said, Corey, I thought you were serious. And then I was like, oh, wait.
I mean,
like, somebody's about to text in and tell me how big of a moron
look,
I am.
Look, they've Le'Veon
not
Bell's,
me this time.
Le'Veon Bell's gone down that road before. So if the Chiefs
he's
are thinking
willing
about,
to sit out. He's proven it.
And the Chiefs are willing to let him.
Yes.
Both sides are willing to sit
all
out.
All tongue-in-cheek, the Chiefs will not be using the franchise tag.
I was talking to Corey before the show as we were going through our pre-show meeting. This was about 4:45 this morning after we were well into our pre-show meeting that I had read something. It might have been at NFL.com or something like that. And it was a free agent for every team that franchise should not re-sign. The Chiefs was Le'Veon Bell. Like,
I mean, that guy's like Nostradamus,
okay.
whoever put that together.
Sure, agreed. Like, going out on a limb there, that's a great call there, guy. They should not re-sign Le'Veon Bell. Nice job. That is correct. 913-912-4810 is the text line.
Couldn't even venture out and say DeMarcus Robinson or Sammy Watkins.
Sammy would be one that you would actually be like,
yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Makes sense to not re-sign
Nobody
Sammy.
Nobody thought Le'Veon Bell was coming back.
I mean, did he get a carry in the Super Bowl? Was he active?
I think so.
I mean, they didn't really hand off a lot, and when they did, it was to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they probably didn't do it enough. And then
Stop.
Did he get a snap?
No Super Bowl.
Did he
no
get a
Super
snap?
Bowl bad memories today.
Hey, you know, it's not. They made the Super Bowl, so they've got that going for them. And it's an absolutely beautiful day here in the area.
Gorgeous.
Not a cloud in the sky, and maybe a feels-like temperature of mid-70s could reach as high as 69 today, as Gary Lezak said this morning. So My goodness, what a difference a week makes in the area, what a difference a year makes for the Chiefs in the decisions they have to make. On the margins, a few very big ones, but not to the degree of you're talking about salary cap years over the next 3 or 4 years to where you've got one position and one player where you're going, do you sign? Do you franchise? Do you let them walk? Do you trade them? What do you do? And that was Chris Jones a year ago. So we'll talk some NFL football. We'll talk some Chiefs with one Adam Teicher at 11 o'clock as well. 913-912-4810. Let's get into some college basketball before we talk a lot of NFL. So tonight we were talking about a payback night for these three teams. And K-State thrown in there as well. And Shane took yesterday off because he was still recovering from his alcohol-induced...
Did you wash your pants?
I always do, but why?
We said you only had one pair of work pants and you shamed them after K-State won this weekend. So that's why you were out yesterday, because you had to wash your pants.
And you were I was driving back
from Waco.
Ah.
I just went down there to party. Just be the one K-State guy.
I don't know why you went to Waco. Considering they played in Fort Worth.
Yeah, why? I was just rubbing it in.
You just drove away. What are you visiting Magnolia Farms? And
to go to watch Baylor not play Oklahoma State this weekend?
Oh, duh.
You were still trying to figure out what we were talking about.
I was like, why did I go to Waco?
Fort Worth, buddy.
Whatever.
Well, that's fine. You can go
I went to where TCU plays, the other purple team.
Fort Worth.
Going to hang out with the couple from Fixer Upper. Just going to go see what
Chip and Joanna.
You know what? Just buy some shiplap down there when you're hanging out with Chip and Joanna. So K-State gets the win, yes, and Shane has returned today. But Kansas-Texas is a very interesting one because Texas had some issues over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And when you've got Courtney Ramey and Texas player that got in the disagreement, to say the slightest, over the weekend. The player that came back from cancer.
Jones?
Yep, Jones.
Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey got into, let's just say, a disagreement on the sideline. And they looked very disconnected after that, did Texas. So you wonder what's going on with that. And Kansas has some revenge on their mind. And I think Kansas is playing at a different level than they were the first go-around, where it did feel like at that time it was, if they were knocking down shots, they can win. If they weren't, there wasn't a second option for this team. And we've seen, and even in beating Texas Tech, now Texas Tech went and lost to Oklahoma State in overtime, but Oklahoma State's still a good team. Whether you say crowd plays a factor or not, they're still playing on the road. In college basketball, it's not like it's a neutral site and it's not like you're playing at home. And there is different shooting backgrounds and courts and dimensions and things like that that you're either used to or you're not so used to as well. So that does play some sort of a factor. So Texas Tech on the road and Oklahoma State getting the win. But Kansas is playing, I think, the best basketball they've played all year. So this is going to be a really interesting one. If it wasn't for, I guess, the line being only three, I would look at it and like I feel like Kansas and Missouri are both going to cover tonight. I don't think Kansas State does, but I think KU and MU cover tonight because of that revenge factor on their mind and because of the taste in their mouth and because I think playing differently than they were at the time. Mizzou against Ole Miss was odd. It was a weird game that they just simply didn't bring it, and even Konzo Martin after the game essentially called out their effort. And then that was the first of the three-game losing streak that took place. And I don't know if, you know, the timing or what was going on with Tillman in that Ole Miss game, if there was already something going on with his grandma and it was in the back of his mind, or, you know, that had nothing to do with it. And then the next day or Friday, you find out that she had passed. I'm not sure. But he didn't look like Jeremiah Tillman that night. He looked like he wasn't really in the game and he was just going through the motions. Now the entire team did, mm-hmm. right? So it wasn't like everybody was busting their A and Tillman was just sort of in no man's land, just sort of drifting in and out of the game with his attention. It was everybody like that. So I don't think that's going to be the case, especially when the coach calls out your effort level. So I do like Mizzou minus the points tonight. I think it's a really good, if you're into gambling or, you know, having a little more than a rooting interest, I love the line tonight. If Mizzou had showed up against Ole Miss and Tillman played against Arkansas and Georgia, I don't think that line would be four. Ole Miss just lost to Mississippi State.
I don't think there's a line out there that I could love for Mizzou right now.
I agree.
Because I've seen the roller coaster season, and
I don't disagree.
I honestly don't know what to expect anytime Mizzou goes out onto the floor right now.
Oh, I'm being a fool and getting sucked in based on one game, admittedly. But I feel like with the no-show, with Konzo calling out your effort, with Missouri being the better team, with the feel around it as in, okay, now we've turned the corner. Okay, this is, we're getting back to who we were before that three-game losing streak. Tillman's back on the floor. You need to start winning to continue keeping your seed, understanding what other teams and how they're viewing you. I like Missouri minus the points tonight, but it's like you say, I mean, that's, you know, playing with fire.
Yeah, I mean, if you made me bet it, I'd bet Mizzou, but I wouldn't feel confident about it.
I'm making you bet it. You must bet it. I am forcing you to do this.
And I think Mizzou beats Arkansas and Georgia if Jeremiah Tillman plays. So I think it's less of a blip on the radar for how they played those two games than maybe other people do, because in my mind, but there's no way to know that, and there's no way to prove that. And like you said, he played against Ole Miss, and they just completely laid an egg in that game. And so there is not a single outcome that could surprise me in a Mizzou game at this point, no matter who they play. Now, I don't know that they'd go out and beat Gonzaga or Baylor, but anybody else in the country, right? Like if Mizzou went out and somehow beat a team, I'd be like,
Michigan.
I mean, but I would just be like, okay, I could see that because they've got some talent. They've got the, but if they go out and lose by 15 or 20 to just about any team, I'm like, yeah, okay.
You know what? I immediately say, you know, I'm not going to beat Michigan, but I'm like, well, they beat Illinois, whether it was early in the season or not. But Illinois is right there, and it's like, you know, these teams in the Big Ten, you got some.
And
top
they beat Illinois
teams
on a night that DeSumo went off. Like it wasn't like their stud had a terrible night.
That's exactly right, and it was a night in which you were like, okay, if Missouri did this and this and this, and you told me that this was going to happen and that was going to happen, I would have told you that there's no way Mizzou ends up winning that game. Tillman plays, you know, 18 minutes and fouls out in the game, and you know, Mark Smith fouls out in the game with 5 points total.
Did we know how little Mark Smith was going to matter for the team this season. At that point, we still thought Mark Smith was important.
Yeah, and you had Mitchell Smith that was in foul trouble most of the game. Like,
he cordially invited his ass to the bench.
That's right. And DeSumo scored 36. And Coburn
was in foul trouble and
scored almost 20. Like, you would have thought Illinois won by like 25, but it wasn't the case. So yeah, I agree. They could, you know, go out there and a number of teams that either, you know, they could beat or be right there in the game depending on how they play. And then of course they can no-show Ole Miss. They can have a 13-point lead against Georgia and give up 23 points in the final 16 minutes of that game and just look embarrassed and embarrassing on the floor. So I do like Missouri to come back and win tonight. Can we hear from Drew Buggs? And maybe this is one of those to where it's just generic. These things take place during the season, or maybe there's something more to it. Here's Drew Buggs talking about what they did behind the scenes to get refocused and maybe back on track.
We had a team meeting just amongst ourselves, just, you know, this is a veteran group, and we knew that that three-game skid did not reflect this. Of course, you know, we were missing Jeremiah, which is a big piece, but at the end of the day, you know, this is a deep team, and we don't make excuses. So we just had to regroup and just tell ourselves we had to get back to the way that we were playing earlier in the season. And, you know, it's not easy. It's a long season. It's a weird season. And, you know, the SEC is tough. Every game's a battle. So we realized that. We realized that, you know, we're still in a great position heading into this final stretch of the season. So it wasn't the end of the world. But at the same time, we couldn't just keep going down that same path that we were headed down. So we had to make the change.
I wonder if the team meeting was like, all right, everybody get together. Team meeting. Tillman's here. All right, break. Let's go play ball. Let's go play ball, guys. Here we go. Back at it again. But yeah, he's right. I mean, the Ole Miss game was a no-show. Arkansas was one to where I don't really put a whole lot of emphasis on that loss. I don't really come away and it's panicked or anything like that with the Arkansas
team,
game. Absolutely.
And you didn't have your best player.
It's a tournament team, and that's exactly right. And then the Georgia game was troubling from the standpoint of you had a 13-point lead and you blew that one.
Even without your best player, you were able to build a 13-point lead 25 minutes into the game. What happened? Yeah. Like, why the collapse?
And I'm looking right now, like at bracket matrix, Arkansas is a 6 seed. Mm-hmm. So you took a 6 seed to overtime without your best player. I mean, that's there's nothing to hang your head about. Like, there's nothing to be ashamed about with that one. You would have liked to have won that game. Mm-hmm. But also, there's nothing wrong with getting together and saying, what's going on? What's the reason behind these things? We got to refocus. And they have a 19-point lead against Georgia, gets down to 7, and they extend it back out to 19 and ultimately settle in at 15. So I like what I saw from that. With KU, definitely a revenge game. Bill Self weighing in and was asked about McCormick playing better against Texas when he played roughly 14 minutes in that game.
He was 0 for in that game.
That's right. Although he was perfect from the free throw line.
8 for 8 from the foul line, 0 for 4 from the field.
Couldn't hit a layup, but dominates at the free throw line.
How about 3 for 23 is what KU was from three-point range in that game.
Just kept firing.
3 for 23. When and the other team goes 12 for 26 and you go 3 for 23, that's a big disparity.
And you know what? And I'm not mad about them continuing to fire. I think KU should, but it's a shot selection. It's not just jacking up threes at the beginning of the shot clock in transition. But here's Bill Self weighing in on not only David McCormick, but his team.
Well, I would think that there should be extra motivation for everybody on our team. Not just David. I don't think that we played very well collectively as a group. I don't think we coached worth the flip. I don't think we did anything to help them. So I think there should be motivation for everybody because of that. But, you know, I just want David to keep doing what he's been doing and playing with a free mind. And he's playing pretty confidently right now. And, you know, he's not playing perfect by any stretch, but he certainly seems like to me he's getting better for the most part each outing.
This is one to where the previous game makes it to where you're saying, boy, it's a, if Kansas can go down there and get a win, that would be absolutely huge. And it would be. But while we've talked about and focused on Kansas, Texas ain't been going out there and beating Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State, or anything like that, or Alabama. Their last good win took place on January 9th against West Virginia on the road, and they won by 2. Since then, they lost to Texas Tech. They beat K-State. They lost to OU, they lost to Baylor, they lost to Oklahoma State, they beat K-State and TCU, and they just lost to West Virginia at home.
And they had an interruption. They had a couple of games postponed in the middle there, which kind of hurts your flow. So coming out and losing to West Virginia when you've had to have your last two games postponed, and you took them right down to the wire. But yeah, no, you're right. This is not like a juggernaut team that they're walking into face, even though you lost by 25 to them back in January. It's not as though Texas is firing on all cylinders.
And you should point out, too, that in those losses, you know, they lost to Texas Tech by 2. They lost to Oklahoma by 1. They lost to Oklahoma State on the road in double overtime. And they lost at home to West Virginia over the weekend by 2.
But they also only beat K-State by 3.
That's exactly right. That's a good point.
And that's so, like, even with the win, you can say, yeah, their losses were close, and then they had a win that was way too close against K-State.
Yeah, should they have beaten a TCU team by more than 15? You know, a TCU team that just lost to K-State. You know, is that better?
I'll give them a 15-point win over TCU is fine. Like,
I think they should have won by 16.
True.
You win by 16, it tells me that you're playing good basketball. That's 15, true. You got some issues. You got some issues. You are
15,
unraveling. 15,
still 5 possessions. If you don't get the game by at least 6 possessions, then, you know.
No, it's 4 possessions.
Get four-point plays.
Four-point plays all day, man. You know, four-point plays all day. 913-912-4810 is the text line. You feel good about K-State tonight, Shane? Because Lebo's going around the office talking about how, you know, Oklahoma's going to lose to K-State.
Looks like we are about to have Chris Jones. So can we take a quick timeout and then he is going to call us?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to send this email back. So let's take a break.
That's a nice little surprise.
We'll set this up and Chris Jones.
We'll talk with Stone Cold Chris Jones coming up next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Especially when Pat texts me talking about he left money on the table. That's still baffled to me to this day. How in the hell you leave money on the table when you got a half a billion dollar contract? I still don't get it, but.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This team, it's like we weren't winning by enough. I guess that's a stat.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson, Corey Anderson, Shane Summers. And a very cool deal here as we switch things up. And we get an opportunity to bring in Chris Jones, as you heard the intro there. And also the music, Stone Cold Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs, number 95. And announcing his foundation, Sac Nation. He joins us now here in the Zone. Chris, how are you, sir?
Chad, I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
No problem, man. I appreciate you joining us, and let's talk about this announcement that you made, the Sac Nation Foundation that comes out today. What is it about? What are you doing? And how long has this thing been in the making?
It's been in the making for a couple of years. I had to make sure this is truly something I was willing to put my time and my efforts into. It's basically a foundation to help improve the health and well-being of the kids in undeserved communities. You know, more so to bring resources and people together in a positive way.
Do you, I mean, when you are going about doing this, and one of the things that maybe you want to look at if you're going to give back to the community, you mentioned the underserved kids that are there. Do you see yourself in some of those kids? How much from your background is why you're going down the route of giving back in this particular way?
Yeah. When I was coming up with decisions to what I would like to give back and how I would like to give back, the focal point was undeserved communities and the kids who have special talents but never get seen because their parents are not able to afford that. I was definitely one of those kids growing up in the city of Houston, Mississippi, and was poverty is high. You know, it's a population of probably 10 to 15,000. And, you know, the economy is very separated between the middle class and the lower class. So I was definitely part of the lower class, and I definitely experienced a lot of these things in my life growing up in an early age.
When you look back, how do you view your, I guess, life journey, that you're in the position you are, where I would say probably 99% of people that were in your position at that time growing up in the circumstances wouldn't have been able to overcome some of those odds?
I look at it just like football. It's all a process. You know, I look at everything in life as a process, and in order to get where you're going, you must go through a process of gaining, losing, and understanding along the way. And through all those trials and tribulations, it tends to shape you as a person, and it tends to shape your vision as a person as you get older and you start seeing more and more things. And then you want to, the vision that you shape, you want to transpire it and help others grow.
And so we talked a little bit, you know, mentioning of maybe seeing yourself in the kids. But as you're deciding what you want to do with your foundation to give back, is there a part of you that's like, you know what, I would have liked this when I was their age? You know, what if we do this, because that would have been cool for me at that age to be able to do that. Is that part of it from you, is sort of putting yourself back in young junior high Chris Jones shoes and thinking, man, this would have been really cool. So this is what I want to do now as, you know, a mid-20s successful multimillionaire Chris Jones?
Most definitely. And since times has changed so much, and the world is a little, I hate to say it like this because I feel so old, but the world is a little different from when I was growing up. You got technology, you know, the 5G and the different types of gadgets now that has completely revolutionized the way things are. So I try to go back and ask kids in the community what they think and get their opinions also. Hmm. But it definitely plays a huge part in me thinking as a kid, like, would I would have liked this if I were this age? You know, of course. But ultimately, I try to relate to the kids and what they think and how they feel.
Visiting with Chris Jones, number 95 for the Chiefs, launching the Sac Nation Foundation, announced today, and teaming up with YMCA of Greater Kansas City, giving an opportunity with 300 kids and their siblings to play a little flag football, providing that and the opportunities with that donation, and more different opportunities will come along the way as Sac Nation continues to grow. When you look around at the team you're on, and now you are one of those pillars of this team, we talk about the core of the Chiefs moving forward. Your name is brought up always. It's Patrick, it's Travis, Tyreek, you, Tyron, Frank, like that's the core of this team. When you look at that and you look around at your teammates, how much was there maybe an individual calling of wanting to give back, but also with the Chiefs organization, there's sort of maybe an expectation of the leaders and the people that are a part of the community to do something to give back. And your teammates with, you know, 15 of Mahomes, 87 and running, Tyrann Mathews Foundation, and now Sac Nation right along with it.
Yeah, it was something I always wanted, or I always had planned and envisioned to do. As soon as I got in the league, going back to when I played with Dontari Poe, he invited me to his camp, Poe Man Dreams Foundation. And then it continued to inspire me when I seen Tyrann, his foundation, how he was able to give back, 87 and running, then 15 and home, my homies, and how much support those guys had. And it just took time. It's all about timing, the perfect time. And I felt like right now, in the position I am in my life, I felt like it was the perfect time to kind of start and move forward with this.
I would guess as well, and I don't want to assume, but I would guess as well, part of it is the security you have now here in Kansas City, that there isn't a question of what your future is going to be, whether it's on the team long-term, one-year deal on a different team, that you get the long-term deal done, you feel security, you feel like you're a part of the community now, and you can plant some roots and then set up the foundation. Was that part of it, of getting that whole thing done and knowing I'm going to be in KC for a while?
Most definitely, because I was going to start it last year, but I just didn't know the standpoint of the team. Would I be here? Mm-hmm. Would I still be a part of Kansas City? Would I still be a Chief? You know, it was always my aspirations and vision to be here, but I didn't, you know, it's a business first and foremost, so, you know, I couldn't call it a shot, but I just had to make sure that I was going to be here and I can plant my seed now and help others.
What a difference a year makes, though, for you. Because we were talking about when we started the show today that what a difference a year makes for the Chiefs, that now today is the first day opening up the window to place the franchise tag on players. And this time last year, there was such an unknown around the area with you, certainly an unknown from you. But now, a year later, a difference in your position now with this team. How comforting, relaxing is it to know that that's all behind you, and all of the stuff you went through a year ago and the stressors and not knowing the future, that you're in the position you are right now, knowing your fate and knowing what the next 3, 4, 5 years of your career are going to be?
Yeah, that sense of security is amazing. But, you know, most importantly, I was still able to stay with the team that drafted me, gave me the opportunity, and supports my vision. You know, not a lot of times guys get that lucky, but I was able to get put in a situation where my teammates, my coaches, the GM, the president, and the owner are all, you know, supportive of my decisions.
Chris Jones is our guest here in the Zone. Now, the salary cap is going to be a little lower than it was a year ago, and who knows what it's going to be in the future. But as we talk about this Chiefs team, when you signed the contract a year ago, was there a thought of some mechanisms built in to where Brett Veach and the front office may approach you to turn rosters into signing bonuses to restructure some of the salary cap? Was that part of the conversation of a year ago, is to give them some flexibility in what they could do moving forward, not knowing what the cap would be this year and the next couple of years with COVID?
I'm quite sure it was. We never really got into too much of detail about that. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, just getting me worked out and making sure that they can support other players on this this championship caliber team. You know, those are all it's about, is winning a championship, and our goals align. You know, the most important thing is about keeping quality guys on the team to help us reach our goal throughout the year.
Are you open to that if Brett Veach in the front office approaches you and says, we got some things we got to do here to move some money around, let's restructure and turn a roster into a signing? Probably leaving that up to your agents, but you open to that if the Chiefs are looking for different avenues to try to get back under the cap but still build a winning team that can go and win another Super Bowl?
For me, it's all about winning Super Bowls. So if that opportunity presents itself, I'm quite sure Brett Veach and my agents will get something worked out to get more guys on the team. We want to continue getting there. Unfortunately, this year didn't go as planned, but we'll be back. And, you know, that requires help along positions. So if there ever been a time of doubt or something like that, then, you know, I'm quite sure my agent in Brevard Beach will work something out.
Chris Jones, our guest here in the zone. Do you ever quite get over a Super Bowl loss in what took place a few weeks ago, or back to the drawing board, re-energized, re-motivated to get back there and avenge that and, you know, hoist that Lombardi trophy again?
You know what? I thought about it after the game. I thought about it. I had a long plane ride home. And, I had a moment to soak it in. I had a moment to appreciate the season, especially with all the adversities that we faced along the way, you know, especially with the COVID and the pandemic. I had to appreciate that we were still able to have a season. But that motivated me even more. I keep telling myself I won't lose in the Super Bowl again. But, you know, I'm just work, and I'm going to put myself in a position to get this team the best of me. That's all you can do. You know, you really can't hang on a loss because, you know, we got to focus on this season. Mm-hmm. It happens, unfortunately. Unfortunately, there's a winner and a loser, and we always plan to win. But sometimes things don't go according to the plan. But we still got another opportunity to come back, especially with this team that we have. So let's focus on this year, getting better, getting the best we can be as a person, and bringing it to our OTAs and training camp.
I mean, you were still a part of maybe the third most successful season in Chiefs history. So, I mean, this year, I mean, it wasn't a Super Bowl championship, but in the franchise history, I mean, it was pretty dang successful. You mentioned sort of just appreciating the season and taking it in and understanding how difficult it was. When you look back, was this year trying to repeat and the run it back, was it more difficult than the first go around if you guys were the hunted and, you know, week in and week out, you had a longer season a year ago, maybe less of an off season than some of the other teams? Did fatigue hit in as the season went along? And when you look back, was any of that sort of part of this year as to maybe how difficult it was maybe compared to the 2019 season?
Yeah, definitely got times throughout the season that it got difficult because of the amount of time we was around each other, you know, the amount of time we was there and the adjustments we had to make. But I think it was worth it. And, you know, I never really said it, but I appreciate my teammates for staying locked in for so long. It was hard, man. It was hard. It's challenging. Yeah. But you know, we overcame those obstacles, and we got to where we wanted to go. We just didn't finish the job, unfortunately. But we'll be back. We'll be back.
Was there ever a thought throughout the season of, man, let's just get through the regular season because our ultimate season starts in the playoffs? Was there ever sort of a mindset, and I know it's, you know, maybe not something that, you know, you set out to do, but maybe human nature kicks in of, I mean, it's just a week 11 game. We're getting through this, but really it's the playoffs. So let's figure out a way to get past this week and, you know, maybe fatigue or whatever, and let's just get to the playoffs. Did that ever come into your mind, or was it week by week the focus is there because of this team?
Well, fortunately for us, we can't have those type of thoughts, you know, because we're not only fighting to get to the playoffs, but we're fighting for a positioning in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
With the new CBA, there's not, you know, two teams to get a bye anymore. And we want the home field advantage. We want the playoffs through Kansas City. So we don't have the luxury of, okay, it's week 12, let's just continue to play. No, we don't have that luxury because we're fighting for things throughout the season. Also, we're not just fighting for the playoffs. We're fighting for the games throughout the season.
Visiting
so
with
we don't have that luxury to get lost in time and be like, let's just get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. No, it's not gonna let us get to the playoffs. Let's get through this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then see how it goes.
Visiting with Chris Jones here in the zone. One more for you. I know that defensive line, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback, getting sacks. It's Sack Nation is your foundation you're announcing today. So it's about getting to the quarterback and doing that. You and Frank Clark are on that, but there might be some changeover in this offseason. Are you watching, paying attention, and seeing if who the Chiefs might be drafting or bringing in? Because – A lot of talk is about an edge rusher on the opposite of Frank Clark to go along with you and Frank Clark to put some pressure on the quarterback, maybe make it easier on you when you've got guys coming around the outside and you pushing the pocket up the middle. Are you paying attention to that, watching and seeing and hoping that there's somebody on the other side that maybe can be a potential double-digit sack guy?
Yeah. you know, I'm always paying attention to see who we bring in. I always support Brent Veach and Coach Reed's decision to bring in guys, you know. Even back to when we got Pat, I was at the parade. So I'm always excited to see who we bring in and we're able to grab free agent market. It's exciting, man. I'm excited to see who we bring in. I'm quite sure if they do bring somebody in, he'll be legit and we'll be able to mesh well. Mm-hmm. That's something about this team, you know, we mesh well on the front line, and bringing new guys in, we welcome them in with open arms because we just want everyone to see, just putting our selfishness aside and making sure that the team goal is bigger than your personal goal.
Who knows if it's going to happen or where he ends up, but would it be nice to play next to J.J. Watt?
It would, man. You know, J.J. Watt has been my favorite player throughout the league for my whole career. You know, he was the Aaron Donald before the Aaron Donald. He was J.J. Watt, you know. So, you know, he's still my favorite player. Will I love to play with him if the opportunity presents itself? Hell yeah. But, you know, you never know how those things go, man. He's a free agent for the first time in his career. He might want to play with his brother or something. I don't know, so. If he do come, it'll be an all-time three. My favorite player. So,
when you first met him, were you starstruck?
Yeah, I actually was. That's the first time I ever got starstruck in the league when I seen J.J. Watt. That was crazy.
That's awesome. Chris, I appreciate the time today, man, and congratulations on getting this done. Sac Nation Foundation announced today with Chris Jones, number 95, Stone Cold Chris Jones, and what you're doing and giving back and certainly a part of the community. And I know that the Kansas City area Chiefs Kingdom appreciates that, and certainly we appreciate and wrap arms around those that invest in the community as well. So thank you for that. Thank you for also staying with the Chiefs as well and this foundation and joining us today. I appreciate that. Best of luck in the offseason, and already looking forward to the 2021 season.
I can assure you that you will have nothing to be disappointed about. We'll be back. Thank you for having me. It's definitely a pleasure to make my stamp made in KC and to give back to the community. It's always been my dream. I appreciate Kansas City for welcoming me with open arms. And I'm going to continue to make my stamp in the community in a positive way, and I continue to get sacks on the field.
Awesome, man. Chris, congratulations. I appreciate you joining us as well. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there's Chris Jones, number 95 for the Chiefs. What a difference a year makes, not going through contract negotiations with the Chiefs, but announcing a foundation that is going to take part here in the area, the local community in the Kansas City area, the teaming up the official partner for the foundation, the YMCA of Greater Kansas City, and the first big donation that comes in, and that going to help out some 300 YMCA kids and their siblings to be able to play flag football, to take care of all of those things so that they can just simply go out and play in some of the underserved communities that are there. And understanding where Chris Jones is coming from, because somebody that, as he mentioned, growing up in a impoverished area, you know, on his grandmother's couch throughout high school, that's how he got through and was able to make it. Went to Mississippi State with the Chiefs, and now a man who's a millionaire 60, 70, 80 times over, maybe 100 by the time his career is over because of the success he has on the field and how good he's been. And so that's awesome. Just going along with the other core players on the Chiefs, Mahomes, mm-hmm. Tyreek, Kelce, Tyron, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, all with their foundations as well.
SacNation.com is the website if you want to check out information on his foundation, SacNation.com for Chris Jones and the Sac Nation Foundation. Good job by him.
Absolutely. A dream to play with J.J. Watt. That was interesting.
I wouldn't mind it.
I was just curious. Like,
I had no idea that was his favorite player.
No idea either. The one player in the NFL he's been starstruck by was J.J. Watt. So, I mean, we'll see where he ends up. And he talked about it. Maybe he wants to go play with his brother. Who knows, salary cap, if it can work out or not. But just sort of curious of what it would be like to play with him. Didn't think it would be to that degree. Interesting. Thank you to Chris Jones joining us, and awesome for him getting Sac Nation Foundation established. Adam Teicher, our guest next.